Today on Real Life Radio.
Look what's happening to America right now. America, if it's not America, it's the entire world. The world doesn't know how to think anymore. It doesn't know how to think. You want to confuse someone? Give them facts.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. But before we get into today's message, did you know that Pastor Jack has a weekly devotional? And it's sure to help you in your walk with God. Join the thousands of Real Life Radio listeners who've been blessed by Pastor Jack's devotional. Get it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues in the book of Philippians with a message called How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2. We're in Philippians chapter 4 with verses 5 through 9. Now, in these verses, the Apostle Paul has us looking at ourselves. Are we in distress? Not to worry. For the Lord is here to comfort and strengthen those who turn their anxiety over to Him. Paul goes on to tell us that as Christians, we are not to live in fear because fear cripples our walk with the Lord. Instead, we need to be a people of prayer who leave all of our troubles and worries in His hands. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that when we ask the Lord to open the eyes of our hearts, the peace of God will surpass our understanding, and His power will give us the strength to overcome the storms and difficulties of life. And now with his message called, How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
No, because what he's talking about here in Hebrews 10:19 is the actual reality of the holiest place in heaven above. Christian, listen to this verse. Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness, you don't need to be shy or even timid or careful about entering into the very presence of God because you have the blood of Christ covering your life. Listen, none of us get this right now. If right now, in a moment's time, if you knew in 3, 2, 1, your breath was to be taken from you and you'd enter eternity, you wouldn't need to worry. You wouldn't need to panic. You don't need to get anxious because the very blood of Christ has qualified you to walk into the presence of God in heaven without a flinch. You say, I'm not worthy of that. That's called Christianity. Welcome. Welcome to Christianity. That's what it truly is. It's all Him. It's not you, it's not me. It's what He's done, but look, we're not done in Hebrews 10. Look at verse 20. By a new and living way, that is, we enter, which He consecrated for us, here it is, through the veil, that is, His flesh. Verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. That's a reference to the Word of God. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. No need to waver. No need to doubt. For He who promised is what?
Faithful.
He'll do it. I tell you, after saying something like that, it's like, let's go now. I mean, seriously, think about it. Let's go now. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. How am I going to have peace regarding my life? Only when God is allowed to open up the eyes of your heart. Lord, we would pray this morning, come in, God, and open up the eyes of my heart, that I would see this awesome truth in reality. Verse 7 guarantees for us, if we would just believe it, a radical, unflinching, bold, dynamic Christian life. There's no other way. Now look, we come to our second argument, how to have the peace of God when my mind becomes a battlefield. Look at verse 8. When my mind becomes a battlefield. Well, we look it up. Verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, he's going to give us three things here. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, and whatever things are just. How do we have the peace of God when our minds are, in fact, the battlefield? And that is true, you know. Your mind, my mind, it is the battlefield. Well, mark this down. How do we have a successful, strong Christian life when it's us we're talking about? Well, we run toward the good. And we need to mark this down. We run toward the good. And I want you to put this in the margins of your notes or whatever it takes to make this a memory. But church, you and I as believers, we've got to discipline ourselves to run toward what is good in life. When he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, the word true means this, things that are out in the open. This gets really graphic real quick. Things that are out in the open, things that are not concealed. I love this because, you know, true, what's true for us, what has been truly given to us of God is always out in the open. God doesn't hide anything. So think of the meaning of this. Whatsoever things are true, cause your mind to run toward these things, things that are out in the open, things that are not concealed, things that are not false. The word means things that are not wrong, things that are not damaging, things that are not insincere. That's what that word true means. So all of a sudden, this is very important for me as a believer, as a Christian now in the 21st century, with all that's going on in the world around us, and our minds are constantly bombarded, more now than ever. I mean, that's not an exaggeration. Would you agree with me with internet? In fact, you can't even have any peace anymore unless you actually physically turn your phone off. Because you can shut things down and there'll still be this alert. You can be right in the presence of God and your phone, you know, warning to those in Southern California, it could rain. What will we do? Storm watch. Always interrupted. All the time, things are pestering us and pulling on us. Run toward what's good. And the Bible says, here's what's good. It's the things that are true. Because my mind is in fact the battlefield. Some have rightly said that the mind regarding the Christian is like the porch that's on your house. Everything lands on your porch, you know? Leaves get blown on your porch, snails go across your porch, Amazon lands on your porch. What happens on your porch? You name it, everything lands on your porch. Listen, church, does everything that land on your porch make it into your house? Absolutely not. Your mind is the porch. Things land there all the time. What am I to do? In the 21st century, in this modern age, you do what we've always been instructed to do because you've been created in the image of God and God has given you a mind. And the Bible says this is how you protect it. You run toward that which is good. The word implies that you're pushing off that which is untrue, that which is false. You're getting away from stuff that would detract. Can you imagine if we literally put this into fervent practice in our day and age? Look what's happening to America right now. America, if it's not America, it's the entire world. The world doesn't know how to think anymore. It doesn't know how to think. You want to confuse someone? Give them facts. They don't know what to do with it. I watched a program last night. Some guy went on the streets of Philadelphia. Or was it Philadelphia? Or I think it was Plymouth, Massachusetts. And the guy was asking people on the street, what's Thanksgiving all about? People didn't know. And the guy, he's in Plymouth, and he asked people on the streets, where did the pilgrims land? Seriously, people didn't know. They're 25 feet from the landing spot. People didn't know. Somebody said, and why did the pilgrims come here? And the person said, to expand their empire. To expand their empire. Facts. Fill your minds with the facts of God. He says to us that we ought to condition our mind to run toward what's good. So you hang on to the true. Whatsoever things are true. So in my mind, I need to start taking inventory. The things I think about. Listen, by the way, of course, what Satan would put out your porch is the opposite. And you know, it dawns on me right now to think about this. Listen, when I was a non-Christian, when you were a non-Christian, do you remember where your mind would go? Listen, how easy did your mind go there? Didn't your mind go there? It wasn't even second nature. Didn't your mind automatically go there? Wasn't your mind comfortable there? When you become a Christian, the Bible says that he gives us a new heart, but we have to renew our minds. You know how you renew your mind? Like this, not Facebook, but face in the book. Listen, like this. This is how you have a new mind. You say, you Christians are brainwashed. Absolutely, amen, hallelujah. We need it washed more with the word of God. Everybody's getting their brain washed with something, but is it filth or is it pure? And this is what dawns on me right now. If my mind is more prone, easily goes to, is comfortable with, it is more lively with the stuff of the world than it is spiritual things, then that is of great concern. Are you with me? Do you hear me? Because as I think about that right now personally, I know that if I relax my mind, church, right now, I've been a Christian for 40 years. If I relax my mind will go to places in a split second that Jesus died on the cross to deliver me out of. So what do? You don't relax your mind. If today you call yourself a Christian, but your mind day in, day out, 24/7, comfortable with all of the lust, all of the porn, all of the drug, all of the anger, all of the hate, all of the whatever you just traffic in. And then on Sunday, you label yourself Christian, and then you go right back to that. And for the whole rest of every hour out of the 7 days of the week, you're comfortable, you have no problem undressing women or men in your mind. And your mind just goes there automatic, and you just, that's where you're comfortable with. You know what? There's a good chance you do not know God at all, but in fact are just simply a Sunday religious person. The Bible says that the believer will fight and struggle and claw on the battlefield of his mind to pursue the truth. It is a war. Look, maybe you brought somebody here today to hear the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, died on the cross for our sins, for your sins, and rose again from the grave. There's no salvation apart from Christ, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Then you just heard the gospel. But let me tell you this. If just laying it down like that is all I would tell you today, I would do you a great injustice. Because let me tell you, you want to be a Christian? It is bloody. It is hard. You will be misunderstood. People that don't even know the reason why will begin to hate you. You'll have a battle that will commence in your mind that will rage until Christ takes you home. Let's not fool around with people. Let's tell them the truth. You want to join us as we're following Christ into heaven? It's going to be a trail of persecution. It's going to be a way of rejection. We'll be spoken evil of. We will quickly begin to sense a separation from this world, and we'll begin to long for heaven, a place we've never been. We can't wait to go home to a place we've never been. And the very home we come home to here in this world is not a home at all. How do I explain that to you? I can't. I can just tell you this. In the midst of the battle, in your mind, in a constant struggle, like Paul speaks about in Romans 7, the very things I want to do for Christ, I don't do those things. And the things I determine that I will never do, Paul says, those are the things I wind up doing. That struggle is the proof to every true believer that you're a child of the living God. It's a wonderful thing. You should become a Christian, because this world is condemned. In the midst of it all, Christ gives us that comfort and that assurance.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
In John chapter 8, verse 44, because you know Satan's a liar, he's going to tell you, no, this is not true, or these things are not noble, or that's not just, or Satan will say to you things, no, this is the truth, or he'll say, this is noble. Right is wrong, wrong is right. Or he'll take something unjust and Satan will declare it to be just. Is that not what we're seeing in our nation today, where even laws are being passed? Godless, unjust things are now being passed and declared to be just. Satan does the exact opposite of what God would do. And in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says to the Pharisees, to the scribes, to the professional religionists, he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he, that is the devil, Satan, speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it, father of lies. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. You ever think about what a lion, how does a lion walk around? Have you ever seen National Geographic? Proud, aren't they? Proud, out in the open. There's a weird thing about them, though. They're kind of cuddly. Don't tell me you've never looked at a lion on TV and said, I'd like to cuddle him. They're beautiful. Isn't it interesting that the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, that Satan, the devil, Lucifer, is the most beautiful angel God's ever created? The Bible tells us in the day of his judgment, the world will look at him and say, is this the one that caused the earth to tremble? He's beautiful. Did you know that? Satan's beautiful. In the Bible, Peter says he's like a lion. He's not a lion. He's like a lion. Isn't it interesting? Jesus is the lion from the tribe of Judah. Satan is like a lion. He's always trying to come in and twist things around. Oh, come on. Come on, Susie, you deserve that. Go for it. And you know, if it turns out not to be good, God will forgive you. Go ahead. You ever heard that before? Your name doesn't have to be Susie to agree with me on that one. And then the moment Susie crosses the line, then Satan comes around and says, oh, he'll never forgive you for that. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What's our response? Verse 9, resist him. Resist him. Fight back. Steadfast. How? In the faith. Take up the Bible and you fight the temptation that lands on the battlefield of your mind. When something comes into your life that you know is not from God, it's from the enemy. You fight it with the truth of God, the Bible. You pick it up and you say, Lord, wait a minute. This is coming to my life. This issue is causing me to be anxious and panic. Lord, you said no weapon formed against me would prosper. God, the last time I checked, Psalm 91 is still in the Bible. Lord, the last time I checked, Romans 8 is still there. And God, I'm claiming those verses and I'm resisting now the attack of the enemy in my mind. We need to fight, people, and stop giving up. We need to fight and run toward that which is good. The word noble here is run towards that which is honorable, edifying, honest. To run toward those things. We're to run towards what's just. The word just here is that which is innocent, the innocent things. God would have us run towards those things. By the way, the ancients used to translate this word just in the Greek, meaning this: duty to man is duty to God. Service to man is service to God. To do the right thing, the just thing, which is smart. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, listen, 1 Timothy 2, 1, the Bible says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks. Well, it sounds like Philippians. If you want to tweet anything or Instagram or Facebook anything, do this verse. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 3. He says, do this by supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. We need to cling to these things. What things? Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah 6, 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do, what's the word? Justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what the Lord requires of us. That's what he wants of us. So in all these things, Christian, we need not worry. We need not be anxious. So, as we approach now the end of a year, though it shouldn't matter, we approach the end of a year and the beginning of a new year. That could be one catalyst to you and I changing our conduct to pray more. Or it could be just the simple fact that God is speaking to us this morning as a church. That we pray more. That we prepare our hearts for heaven, that we have heaven's perspective, that we need not worry anymore about the things that pressure our lives. Remembering this, that when we worry, we are assuming now a responsibility that was never intended to be ours. We cast it back at God because he has promised to care for us. And when our mind becomes that battlefield, he has promised us the peace that surpasses all understanding. That God's precious peace will garrison our hearts and our minds through Christ. It's Jesus himself that has promised. My dear friends, listen, and I end with this. If you and I cannot trust God for our mortgage or for the issues that are before us, then how can we say we trust him when the time has come for us to draw our last breath on earth? We would say today, oh, I trust him for the big show at the end, but not for now. The only reason why that would be true for you is because you don't really believe that the end is near. So you push it off and you justify the worry of the moment. No. If Jesus said to us this morning, take no thought what you will wear or what you will eat. For all these things do the unbelievers worry about. But my heavenly Father, which clothes the hillsides, more beautiful than Solomon in all of his glory, or feeds the birds, will he not more care for you? Jesus said, O ye of little faith. So would you agree with me this morning? I have little faith. And Jesus turns and says, even to that, oh, but I'll clothe you and I'll take care of you. Father, we thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We come before your presence with thanksgiving, with that peace of God. And Father, this morning we pray for anyone here today that has never made that moment, taken that opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ, to agree with the gospel of God, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, only glorified, one and only preeminent Son, Jesus, that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever would put their trust in him would not perish but have everlasting life, that they would do that today.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today, and our hope is that you'll find Christ and you'll allow his promises to bring you peace. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Haven't we all heard the phrase, slow and steady wins the race? But could that also be true when it comes to daily living? In Praise of Plotters by Warren Wiersbe is our current featured resource, and it's not only thought-provoking, it celebrates the value of careful planning. Wiersbe says that plotting and intentional decision-making are crucial for achieving meaningful outcomes. In Praise of Plotters by Warren Wiersbe is yours today for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
So many people have stopped going to church. They've given up on fellowshipping together. Maybe it's been pain. Maybe fear has gotten the best of you. Maybe it's been, I don't know what. But I want to challenge you. Now's the time to come back home. Hey friends, Pastor Jack Hibbs here, and I want to invite you to Just Church. Let's have an evening of worship, the Word of God, and to make a radical recommitment to Christ.
That's Friday night, September 8th at the Honda Center for Just Church. For more info, go to JustChurchSoCal.com. That's JustChurchSoCal.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.